Well, today we're talking about trusting God always. That's today's message, trusting God always. I want you to flip in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be going back to the Old Testament in just a minute, but I want to start there as we talk about all the things we face and how do we trust God always. It's tough to do, is it not? It is. It's tough to trust God always. I can read His promises, but it's hard to trust them. I can hear the promise of a friend or a neighbor or a family member, but if they fall through, it's like, oh, okay, it's tough. So we have to learn what God's promises are and then learn how we can follow those, trust those, and know that what He says is true. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, I'm going to start there, and it's a familiar phrase for those that have been around and been in the Word for a long time. And it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Simon, or called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Well, that makes sense why they were casting nets into the sea. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And notice it says they immediately dropped their nets. And I always point that out because when God calls you, it's important that we immediately respond to what's going on. You know, a lot of times God calls us and we drag our feet and we drag our heels and we get them further in the ground and say, "No, Lord, I don't think so." I can attest to that. I've been one of those. And it says they immediately left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the lifeboat with Zebedee, their father. They were mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And notice, they left the family. They left their father as well. Jesus said, "I'm calling you two." Remember, sometimes God says, "I'm calling you." And we're going, "Hey, come with me. Jesus is calling me." But Jesus may be saying, or God may be saying, "I'm calling just that one to do this work." And other times He's saying, "Hey, come with me and bring as many people as you can." That's when you say, "Hey, come on, guys, He's calling us." And He's calling us to a greater cause and a greater calling. And it says, going on from there, when He saw the other brothers, they left their father. And I love that part. And then right after that, it talks about Jesus healing a great multitude. My only point here is this is when Jesus is starting His ministry. He's starting His ministry right now, and He calls on people and says, "I want you to follow me." And so they did. We'll notice in the Bible that many people followed Jesus. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 6, it said many followed Him, and then many turned away when they heard what Jesus said. So He had a lot of followers, and many turned away. Has anything changed in today's society? Many come along, many follow, and many leave. And it's the same thing. But in Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to turn there necessarily, but you can if you want. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27. And it says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples," those people that are following Him, listen to what He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." There's a reminder for the followers what we have to do. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about trusting God always. So now if you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to the Old Testament. We're going back to Joshua chapter 14. It's towards the front of the Bible in the Old Testament. And we're going to study one young follower of God. And I just wanted to point out again in the New Testament, Jesus called on His disciples, and they followed Him immediately. And I want to talk about the depth of following God and the depth of following Jesus. Because as we know with the disciples, they were all very close to Him, and they all followed Him. But in the end, one turned on Him. And that's going to happen, as we just read out of the Bible in John chapter 6. Many turned away. when we talk about following Christ, we have to talk about what's our depth. And I talked several weeks ago about, you know, we put that label on our shirt, on our jacket that says Christ follower, I'm a Christian, whatever. But it gets curled up and it may fall off and get stomped on. It's on the bottom of someone's shoe. And all of a sudden our identity is gone. Because we wore it right here and we weren't living it in here. It is important that we remember who we are and what we are. We can't just rely on the fact that we accepted Christ at a certain age and say, I'm a Christ follower. Great. Tell me what you're doing to follow him these days. Tell me about that. What does it look like? You mean recently? Yes, right now. I mean, the last 5 days. Man, tell me about that. Well, you know, I've been busy. And then all of a sudden, excuses start coming. So we're going to look at a young man named Caleb. Not that Caleb, but this one in Joshua. Both young men. Actually, as we read about Caleb in the Bible, he's much older. So we're going to read in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 15. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Now listen to this. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. I was 40 years old when that happened. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now listen to this. A man following after God's heart. He says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years later, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. I was 40 when this happened. It's 45 years later. I'm now 85 years old. Now listen to what he says. I really question this, but he says, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. How many can say you're as strong now as you were 45 years ago? I headed up here a little early thinking, I'm moving slow today. But it says now, let alone ready for war when you're 85 years old, not me. Now, therefore, in verse 12, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 12. We're going to come back to that at the very end of the message. He said, now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Keep that verse in mind. And it says in verse 13, it says, and Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day, which he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba, which was the greatest man of the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Now, I told you a couple weeks ago, all of you wondered what this was. It's to hold my water. If I can get it open here. Now, those things, when we read about it, Caleb in verse 8, he testifies to his own lifestyle. In verse 8, he says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." He testified, "I followed him wholly and completely." But not only that, Joshua acknowledges the same thing, saying, "You have wholly followed the Lord my God." Now I want us to hold that place in your Bible and flip back a few books. Go to Numbers. Numbers 14, you don't have to go there if you don't want to. I'm going to read one verse. Numbers 14, verse 24. This is a testimony or the witness that you really want. And this is the Lord speaking, and he said, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit that." Man, wouldn't that be great to have the Lord testifying on your behalf? Man. "But my servant Eric, but my servant Adonijah, but my servant Jan, but my servant, whoever, put your name in there. Because they had a different spirit in them, and they followed me fully." Whew, what a testimony. Forget you saying, "I followed the Lord wholly." And your friend saying, yeah, he followed the Lord wholly. But the Lord himself spoke and said, "My goodness, he followed me fully and had a different spirit in him." Trusting God always. The Lord acknowledges Caleb's commitment. And remember, that was 40 years ago, 45 years ago when he was 40. Now you got to think, they're wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. The name of the message, trusting God always. When we look at that, we're going to look at three things. When we trust God and how we trust Him and what we trust Him in. And the first one is trust in God's presence. Listen carefully. Trust in God's presence despite what you see and even when you can't see. So many times we can't see what the future is at all, or we see it and think, "Is this it? Lord, please don't leave me here." But we have to trust in God's presence despite what we see today. By the way, my good friend Eric, I'll have to clarify something. Eric, I work at Bob Mills Furniture. A couple weeks ago, you said Adam and Mathis Brothers. I work at Bob Mills Furniture. I got a new job assignment this week. I'm the new store manager of the Oklahoma City store, and I'm not thrilled about it. And it wasn't my choice, and I don't have a choice unless I say I'm leaving the company. I have to trust in God's presence, even though I can't see the end result. They need me to do this. I'm going to do it. And I've prayed about it. And little by little, I'm starting to get excited about it. Why? Because you don't want to do something you can't stand. Good grief, it's just a new assignment, and God will do that like that. Now, I'm going to confess something that I don't want to, but I'm going to. I know that within the last 4 weeks, and to be honest, I think it was within the last 2 weeks, but within the last 4 weeks, I said to somebody, "My goodness, I'll never be a store manager again." Whew! Thank you, Lord. I get it. You're in charge. You're in charge. I actually said that. Oh my goodness. We don't know. God knows. Trust in God's presence despite what you see and even when you can't see. Caleb wandered through that wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine what he went through as a young man? And then he went out and he investigated the land and came back and brought a report. Now he's 85 years old and he's coming back to God and he's saying, "Hey," or he's not coming back to God, he's coming back to Joshua, and he says, "Hey, by the way, remember 45 years ago, God said this, I'm here to claim it. I'm here to claim it." Now, the second thing, trust in God's purpose even when life is unpleasant and you're in the wilderness. I'm getting ready to go through the wilderness because I don't know what I'm doing. Why? Because I haven't had that position at this company. And by the way, this message was already planned before this change happened. Thank you, God, again, for just connecting those dots. Now I get to put it into practice. But even when life is unpleasant and you're in the wilderness, you have to trust God's purpose for your life. God, are you telling me that I can make a difference here? Are you telling me that I can make a difference in people's lives there? God, are you telling me you can make a difference in my life here? You see, sometimes it's for the benefit of others, and sometimes it's for your benefit. Your presence, sometimes you think maybe for your benefit. God said, man, you're not getting anything out of this today. It's not for you. You're there so you can be a blessing to someone else, and you'll bless them. Then other times we think, God, are you going to show them anything? He says, this isn't about them today. It's about you. You see, I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to change you. And I'm going to make a difference in your life where you'll be better in the future. And it's so hard to look at life both sides. God, is this for me today? Is this for them? Oh, this is a double bonus day. It's the daily double. It's for your benefit and their benefit. I'm going to bless you both in this. And I'm going to transform you both. It's the daily double. In Joshua 14, if we flip back to Joshua 14, verse 10 and 12, it says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, he's going back on that promise. As the Lord said. Now, a lot of times the Lord may say something and he says, oh, by the way, maybe 45 years later. Dang it. Trust God's purpose even when life is unpleasant and you're in the wilderness. You think you've been in the wilderness? Have you been 40 years in the wilderness? And if you have great news, you're getting ready to come out of it. And God says, I've got this promise I made you. And I'm going to bring you through this. Number three, trust in God's power. Now, that's a hard thing for us to do. God, I can't see. God, this is unpleasant. God, I don't know where I'm going. God, this is all I see. Trust in his power. Trust in God's power even when you don't have an ounce of strength. There's times as Christians that we feel helpless. We feel weak. We feel lost. We feel defeated. My God, why would we be any less challenged than someone else? We just have a greater power and a source of knowledge and a source of healing than those that don't know Christ. We know where our source of strength comes from. That song we sing as kids, he is strong when we are weak. In our weakness, he shows his strength. We have to trust in God's power, even when we have no energy and no strength left to fight the battle. God says, hey, by the way, this wasn't your battle to fight from the beginning. You were supposed to lay it down there at the altar. Remember, I told you to put it right there. And you've been dragging this battle around. No wonder you're weak. Good grief. That weight wasn't meant for you. It's too much. It was meant for me, and I can carry it. Now, will you just trust me in my power, and will you lay it down there? But you ever grip something like that and hold it for, 3-5 minutes, and then you try and open your fingers, you're like, I can't do it. That's what it's like when you're carrying around that garbage. Here's your battle in a bag, and you're clenching it so tight. Oh, I'm going to hang on to this battle. One day I'll defeat it. Yeah, when you pry those stuck little fingers open and drop it and leave it at the feet of Jesus, he said, that's mine. Caleb was 85 years old. 45 years after God spoke to him and said, I will give you this land. Trusting God always takes concentration. You have to constantly focus on Him. Let me go back for just a minute. Take up the cross and follow Him. Well, how often do I have to do that? As often as necessary. We've talked about that before. That cross becomes the clothes hanger in the closet. Uh-oh. And my sticker has started to peel off my jacket that says, Christ follower. And I can no longer identify who I am. But worse yet, others cannot identify who we are. I can't see that. It's all curled up and rolled up. Looks like I've been stepped on. I'm a Christ follower. Do you follow Him wholly like Caleb? Tell me about that. Caleb had a different spirit. It takes concentration and it takes a different spirit. And of course, it takes a different attitude. It takes one that says, as a young person, I'm going to stand up for my beliefs. And by the way, I'm going to make some hard decisions to do something when the others aren't, or to not do something when the others are. To our even younger people, same thing. And then the rest of us, just the older group, it's the same thing. 85 years old, first of all, it's never too late, by the way. It's never too late. Those are the people generally we get frustrated with. What do you mean the thief on the cross gets to go be in paradise? That guy stole all his life. Right before he dies, he acknowledges Christ. Really, he gets to be in paradise? Man, it's the beauty of this, yes. You see, it's never too late. On your deathbed, in your jail cell, wherever it is. Now let me end with this, Laren. And listen carefully. Okay, a little inside joke, I apologize. I'll end with this. Caleb went, and I want you to go back to that verse that we mentioned earlier. Caleb had to go back and ask for what was promised to him. Sometimes when God makes a promise, we have to go ask for it. And God isn't going to lay it in our lap. And I think there's Christians out there that said, God, because I sat here and prayed and you promised and your word said, drop it in my lap. And he says, you've got to do a little work. For goodness sakes, at least walk up to me and ask me. Ask me for the promise. Acknowledge that you know what that is and ask me for the promise. We sometimes just have to get up our own strength and go ask God for the promise that He made to us. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message today. Trusting you always, no matter what we're going through. Lord, we thank you for Caleb and the spirit he had that was different. Lord, we thank you for acknowledging you. No matter what we're going through, no matter how unpleasant it is. Lord, when we can't see or what we do see, we think is not right. And Lord, that we acknowledge your power. God, I pray today for those that are carrying around baggage and weight. Lord, that they release that at the altar, whether they physically come forward while we sing and drop that at the altar and give that to you, or whether they do it where they sit or stand. But Lord, that they release that bondage that they're in. Father, today let us trust in your power and your presence always. In Jesus' name, amen.